Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of experience. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
There are many situations when we are tempted to pull on our judgy pants, and one of those is when we get in other people's cars. Are they spotlessly clean? Is the backseat full of burger wrappers? Do they have wacky ornaments on the dashboard? A recent poll found many people leery of giving other people lifts for fear of being judged. News Talk's I Didn't Drink Those Cans Today correspondent Henry McKean has been out trying to gauge the level of in-car filth in this country. Good afternoon, Henry.
Good afternoon, Sean. And yes, some cars out there are absolutely filthy, inside and out, you name it. Spillage in the village, as my son calls it. Sticky drinks all over the place. Kids are to blame, let's be frank about it.
Oh, yeah, they're
You can't
animals.
Blame the adults. It's the children.
Yeah.
They are to blame. And the smokers in our lives who like to smoke at the wheel.
I don't know, why would you smoke in your car?
I think people just like it. They're in their own kind of smoky
But, like,
kind
there's
of
no way. And you know the way you see tin. People, like, and the windows down, like, a crack.
Yes.
And they think all the smoke's going to go out rather than you
oh,
go in
it.
And it's going to smell like an ashtray when you get
oh,
into
they,
the car.
They love the passive smoking. But yeah, really interesting. A survey by Skoda also found that 9% avoid parking at work because they don't want others to see inside their car. And I did actually... I know.
Who would look, though? I mean, no. I mean,
I know, who would be
who
bothered?
Who walks past cars looking inside to go,
well, earlier, that's exactly what I did. I was
yeah, well,
wondering.
You had to do it professionally. Yeah, but yeah, you would have to be a really damaged person if that's what you did routinely.
No,
really.
And you saw it. It's true. I saw it all. I saw this one van, and he had an actual full China coffee cup with a saucer on his dashboard and wrappers
Class.
Everywhere. And you just think, why not? He obviously... just took it from a restaurant, you know.
Or maybe that's he brought it out when it was in a rush from Brecky.
Yes.
And but like it was a China cup,
away.
It was like
China
a posh
cup,
one.
An
nice.
Actual China cup.
Bit of
like a nice
there.
One you'd get in Bewley's, you know,
yeah.
Like a proper one.
Oh.
Just had it on the dashboard. Couldn't find him though. He was a tradesman. He was somewhere. But yeah, people really just don't care. Some of us just don't care. I did get to meet, you know, you could say a guy that comes across a lot of clutter. Stuart Smith, he's from menatwork.ie. And I was actually in the kind of, is it Dublin Bay out there in Portmarnock, Malahide, looking over St. Eta's?
Yeah, I guess it is,
It was beautiful earlier today. The sun was hitting the sea. It was stunning. And anyway, he was on a decluttering clearance job. You know, he clears houses. And basically the same people that have clutter in the house also have cluttered cars. He's seen a lot of cluttered, dirty cars in his time.
Stuart, you see lots of clutter. You're a clearer, a declutterer. We're actually inside your car at the moment. And I hope you don't mind
less
me,
said the better.
You know, describing it. So this is a working car.
Yes,
you've got
it is, yeah.
Lots of stuff in the back. You've got some gardening equipment. Obviously, you're working in it, so there's a little bit of dust.
Yep.
Tell us, you know, is it hard to keep the inside of your car clean?
Do you know, I think there's two ways of looking at this. It's either going to be habitual, which is me, the occasional chocolate bar, dumping a load of painting stuff in here, dumping a load, and it just accretes. And I try and clean it once a week, but, you know, once a week sometimes becomes once a fortnight, and once a fortnight becomes once a month. Or there's the I really can't be bothered and just dump everything and leave it kind of attitude, which I try and stay away from a little bit.
What does a dirty car or a clean car, an internal car, say about you or one?
Well, it says probably you have children, because I have not young children. I have a 21-year-old and a 16-year-old, and I'm still finding McDonald's wrappers that I have asked to be taken away. And
they do
sweet
that.
Wrappers and apple cores and this, that, and the other. And you think, we've learnt nothing in 15 years, really, have we? We've gone nowhere. I'm such a good parent. But, you know, it's that kind of sort of habitual stuff. But there is the kind of, I occasionally come across things that really shouldn't be, you know, cigarette butts, not in my car, I might say. I haven't smoked in 20 years, but, you know, people drop their cigarette butts and, you know, it's just full of paper. And it's, you know, it's like houses, you know, if you get a house where you're decluttering and it's an old person, and old people, they're just creatures of habit.
And they hoard.
And they hoard, and, you know, it's not genuinely their fault because they forget, but it's young people who just drop. I have a 21-year-old, as I mentioned, and her bedroom looks like a posher version of Stalingrad. So, on a really good day.
So absolutely horrific. When we take those hoarders, I know people in my life, they use their car as a hoarding place.
Yeah.
For example, I hoard in my car. I have an IKEA bag full of stuff. Maps. I have lots of maps just in case the sat-nav goes down. I'm now in an EV, but I even have a jerry can in there. I just can't help it, just in case I come across someone that, you know, has run out of petrol.
Well, I keep a select few tools in my car, just so you need clippers or you need a hammer or you need any different type of screwdriver, just in the line of work that I have. You know, you just think, I really wish I'd brought those pliers now. Let's drive another 6 miles back home. Yeah, brilliant. Well done, Stu.
I have to say, your car is... Okay, I'll be honest with you, there's a few cobwebs. It's not clean, but it's relatively tidy. Everywhere has a place.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say I'm the most organised person, but I share this with my wife. So there's a danger warning here. Irish woman with, this is my car as well. What are you doing in it? So I do try and take everything out every night.
There you go. That's the Stuart Smith there from menatwork.ie. Henry and I were obviously discussing that issue very much.
We're talking about the dirt.
I don't agree, though, that if you've got... a messy car, you have a messy house, or vice versa.
You think it's separate? Do you think it's completely
separate?
I think they're
two completely separate things.
Yeah. Totally different thing. You live two lives.
It depends. Well, you see,
cheating on your car.
It depends whether you think your car is that important or not. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas people might think your home is important and they want that to be clean. But maybe don't drive that much or,
But
as you said, like most of it anyway, is just kids and they're filthy. Yeah. And they're in the back and they're eating biscuits or whatever the hell and there's crumbs everywhere. Plus, it's not even the crumbs, it's the sticky stuff.
It's the chewers.
Or they spill a drink or something.
And they don't tell you.
Yeah, but you wouldn't let you beat them to death if they did that in the house. But in the car, you don't care as much. That's what I think. Yeah.
Teenagers are terrible too. They'd leave a half an eaten hamburger and you'd find it 2 weeks later. Yeah. You know, and you know the side pocket bits. What are they called? In the door. The door pockets.
The tour pocket.
Those,
but at least they'd be sitting in the front. There's a chance of finding it there or smelling it.
No,
my brother's car always smells of gone off milk. He's two kids who still drink bottles, so I can only assume it's spilt milk has embedded in the seats over time.
That is the worst.
Yuck, it turns my stomach. When we go places together, I always offer to drive. Yeah.
It's very sour. Do you know the Asians, the Chinese, call us Western white people, we smell of sour milk? And we do. Hang on.
Do we?
Yeah, because we drink milk.
We're probably used to it now. Mm. Jim says, I always keep my car spotless. But one day, I had to bring the wife's car to work when we had two kids. A one-year-old and a four-year-old. I was taking the lads to lunch and one of them got on the back, says, Jesus, Jim, I didn't know you kept chickens back.
Well, he might have.
Yeah.
Especially
that's
in agricultural islands.
That's a good, healthy smell, chickens. So they're maintaining, though, anyway, these people, that it does say something about you
if you've got a bit of an untidy car. It does, and we judge each other about what cars we drive. For example, when I was young in school, my mum had this beautiful yellow Volkswagen Beetle.
Oh,
and it purred.
Classic.
A cat. Like, it was a classic in the early 90s.
Didn't Hitler invent them or something like that?
The people's car. I think he endorsed them.
Yeah.
And we still drive them to this day.
Yeah.
But I think Volkswagen, he jumped on, you know, it was every German company.
Yeah, sorry,
had no
I was
choice.
Probably not entirely correct that.
the Bumblebee car, the one from the movie, if this kid's listening, and it was stunning. Anyway, there was a hole in the back, where you sat, so you had to hold your feet up because you just feel the road. It was very old.
Could you see
the road? So you just, the rust came through, and you just sort of. It was a 1970s Beetle, and we hadn't got round to fixing it.
That was a bit exciting then.
It was.
I suppose you'd be nervous about putting your feet down in case more of it went through.
Exactly, and then you could see the road, and it was a little bit dangerous, but it was the early 90s, so it was fine. But I had a friend, or I'm not going to call him a friend, he wasn't a friend, a guy in class.
Yeah.
We used to do kind of rosters on lifts after late night woodwork.
Okay.
We used to do woodwork late at night, and there was like three of us, and the parents would take it.
How late at night?
Oh,
it was like a few drinks, bit of woodwork.
After
what
dark,
could possibly go wrong?
Woodwork. But it was all above board, and it was probably between 4 and 6, so at 6 p.m., the parents were taking in turns to pick us up. And anyway, he refused to get in the car one day and said, I'm not getting into that car. I'm too embarrassed.
Oh, gosh, little Lord Fauntleroy.
And he went and organised his own kind of roster with other parents. And I was, you know, I wasn't embarrassed. I was just annoyed with him for being so mean.
That's so horrible.
And, do you know what I'd say? It wasn't a banger. It was a classic car. I'm very, very proud of that Beetle. And I didn't like the way he judged me to this day. I still hold a grudge.
No, I could understand that, yeah.
30-odd years later. Yeah. But
How did he do in later life? We don't want to get too specific.
I actually need to find out. I'll have to look him up.
He's not like a minister for anything. Or anything
no,
like that.
He was, no. And the thing is, and his parents just drove a Saab, and there's nothing wrong with a Saab.
No,
like
no.
I know that you can't get them anymore; they're discontinued. But you know, it was just a normal Saab. I mean, who was he to throw stones? Anyway,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, indeed. My daughter's car is like a skip on wheels. She changes it every couple of years or so. I'm pretty sure it's only because she couldn't be arsed to clean it. Says Ed. Someone else says a few years ago, I worked with a very elegant lady. And we went out one day with the boss to a meeting. We went in his car, and when the lady got out the back, her beautiful cream coat was dotted with jelly dots, M&Ms and crisps from his cash. The boss raised an eyebrow and said nothing, and neither did I. God knows what she thought when she discovered the carnage. Your mother's had bad luck with cars.
No, she has. And I will tell you another quick story about my mum. She had a 1983 red Ford Fiesta, which now the kind of hipsters would drive. They're quite rare.
Yes, they would, yeah.
A beautiful thing. Anyway, it went on fire outside a car dealership called Carolyn Kinsler on the Rock Road. And they came out with fire extinguishers and they put it out. And my mum was so pleased with them that she went in the next day and she bought a new Toyota Starlet.
Well, her old car had caught fire.
Well, yes. So she got a new car,
yeah,
and she was
cool.
Absolutely.
Did they establish
delighted.
why her car caught fire in the first place?
I don't know.
Was it an arson attack?
No, it was just the engine just caught fire as she was driving.
She was in the car when it happened.
Just went on fire. The boot went on. It's not the boot. The engine. The front bonnet went on fire.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Yeah. And this happens, especially to old cars, and especially cars from the early 80s. I'm not sure what went wrong.
That's classic cars for you, though. Yeah. They're death traps.
Well, this was a classic car before it was a classic car. It's a classic car now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah. So I remember that Starlet. That was a lovely thing. She got it on the scrappage scheme. And technically, that car was scrapped. Well, it was scrapped. You know, it went on fire. But you remember the scrappage scheme? That was a great thing. It was to try and get old cars off the road back in the 90s.
That chap you were talking to at the start, the fellow cleans up. Loads of people are texting and say he sounds like Dominic West, the actor.
He does a bit. I mean, he
look like him?
He does. He's a very handsome man. He came from the wine industry. And he switched to decluttering. Very intelligent, bright, cultured man. I'd love to find out more about him.
That's a hell of a switch going from the wine industry.
No, I actually bumped into him, they say in Australia, I bumped into him at the dump. We call them recycling centres here. And we got chatting and I said, look, I'm going to look you up. And I did.
Yeah.
And he had a chat with me. But no, lovely, lovely man. But I got to have a chat with other motorists.
You're a taxi driver. You try and keep your car clean and it is pretty clean. But the customers aren't always so clean.
No, they're not. No, there does be sometimes hard and they eat when they're not supposed to eat and they don't even ask sometimes, and as well as drinking as well. So you have to keep your car clean, you know, and sometimes you get a random spot check as well.
I do admit I had to pay a soiling charge in Wexford. Yeah. I dropped a kebab and I'm sorry about that, and it went everywhere. You know, sometimes it's out of your hands. You have to take the car off the road to get it clean.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I had the same thing when a baby got sick as well. You know, unfortunately, I was off the road for the rest of the day.
And it wasn't the baby's fault, it was no one's fault?
No, it was nobody's fault, it was just circumstances happened, that's all, you know.
And do you take pride in keeping your car clean?
Well, I more or less have to, yeah. You know, yeah.
You have a pretty dirty car.
Yeah.
How come? Are you just so busy? What's the reason?
I just haven't got around to cleaning it. I want to sell it, so I just haven't seen a point of deep cleaning it yet.
So you'll wait and then you'll give it a good...
I'll give it a good
clean.
Scrubbing, yeah.
And are you embarrassed by your car? Do you think, oh my God, my car is so embarrassing, I can't offer anyone a lift?
I'm embarrassed because it's an Opel Corsa, not because it's dirty.
It's a good car.
It's not the best now, but sure, look, it gets you from A to B.
And what year is it?
07.
Oh, so it's, you know, how old is that? 16 years?
Yeah, it's been around the block anyway. Yeah, so old enough.
There you go, Henry talking to the owner of a 16-year-old Opel Corsa. Ah, some people know no shame. Hoarders should be locked up in an empty house for a month says the texter. I think immersion therapy in a barren environment could work, or just shame them. Either way, it would make me feel better. Someone else says, my brother's car is so full of empty cigarette boxes, it's Jenga heaven. Oh, God, the stink of it, though. I never give lifts to my colleagues. I just say that the car is full of child seats, which it is. The real reason is that it smells like sour yoghurt, Supermax, and my farts. Mmm.
Open the
That's
window.
A potent mix that is there. But, you yeah. know, if it's, but you see, if it's a cold, it's, and that's like an interesting one.
Yes.
If it's like in yeah. the dead of winter and mm-hmm. it's really cold.
Leave the window open, I would.
And you let one off.
Mm, definitely
and
got
it's,
to.
It's a balance between, I know it's going to be a bit yeah. of a smell and it might.
But what about the passengers?
Well, if there's no passengers. Okay. If you're by yourself. But it might embed into the, you know, the seats then.
It could.
But at the same time, open the window and freeze yourself to death.
I would always choose freeze.
Until you can't operate the steering wheel anymore.
Like I'm in an EV, for example. I can't put the heating on. Well, I could, but it would, you know, the battery would run out and then you'd stop. So if you want some air, you open the window like we used to do in the old days. That's what you need to do. Just
okay.
open that window. But, I mean, well, I suppose we're discussing what does a messy car say about you. And it actually does, Sean, say a lot. I did get to speak to an expert. Here is Fiona Brennan, founder of The Positive Habit.
So what does a messy car say about you? Well, it definitely probably says that you have a busy life, and that's okay. That's what most of us have. I would say that the car is a place where we feel that we can maybe hide a little bit. It's almost like a private space. So your house might be spotless, but your car might be a mess. And the reason for that is you don't expect other people necessarily to come into the car. So when they do, it comes as a bit of a surprise, which is why most of us will apologize profusely, saying, oh my God, I'm so sorry, it's a mess, it's a mess. How many of us have done that? I think it's important, though, that there's balance here, like so many things in life. And if we're really sort of so embarrassed to the point that we refuse or try to avoid giving other people lifts, it shows that we care way too much about what other people think. Because let's face it, the clean car and inside of the clean car is probably the last thing on our minds on a long list of things to do. On the flip side, someone who has a spotless car inside that is like almost like it's straight out of the showroom maybe suggests that this person has not necessarily too much time on their hands, but that they too care too much about what other people think, that they feel that they're being judged and that the car is in fact a status symbol. So people with expensive cars tend to have immaculate interiors. And also, and I know I'm guilty of this, is that when we have a new car, we tend to look after it better. And this can be new to us. It doesn't have to be an expensive car. So essentially, what I would say is just enjoy your car. And if it's a mess, so what?
There you go. That's the definitive word from an expert, a mental health expert there. If you have a really clean car, you're weird. I was known in work as having a manky car, says one texter. A colleague who hadn't travelled with me before asked, does someone live in this car? Years ago, four lads were driving around the island of Ireland for charity. Another git in the depot hid a dead salmon under the back seat. It was summer and the drive took 2 weeks. Imagine the smell. Ooh, and it was for charity.
Dead salmon. I don't know what to say.
But they would have, it was under the back seat. You'd think they'd be able to find it pretty quickly once they.
So
but you know what, lads?
Weeks?
You see, that's it. They're in the car for 2 weeks and they're going, where's that smell coming from? But nobody bothers to look. That's lads for you anyway. So did you talk to any people who clean cars?
I did.
Put up with other people's filth.
I did. And some people like to make their cars really dirty and then get them valeted or valeted. I think that's the correct French pronunciation, believe it or not. I met Patrick Guinea, who runs Express Car Wash in Drury Street, Parkright multi-storey car park in Dublin 2. He's originally from Albania and he runs a very successful business here in Ireland.
Most of the cars are a bit dirty because that's why we are in the business.
That's why they're here.
Yeah. And but to be honest with you, most of my customers, they clean the car regularly. And they're not that dirty. But like we come across a few cars, they really need attention.
they need attention. And you're saying, you know, the people that come to you obviously are quite clean. That's why they're getting their cars clean. But now and again, you must come across an absolutely filthy car full of clutter and dirt and cans and bottles and sweetie wrappers and sand. And that's just my car.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I can't say so many cars, but like a few cars, like they're very, very, very dirty and messy inside. Like, you know what I mean? So we make it clean, and they will come back to us.
So you just say, okay, this car is absolutely filthy, but we've a job to do. Come on, team, let's get it clean. And we're out here. They're hoovering away. They're hoovering a Dacia there. It's getting all shiny. It's, you know, it's looking pretty clean. How bad was that one before they took
to
over?
To be honest with you, that's from a garage. Like that was very bad. But now it looks like new. We shampoo seats, carpets, and we wax it outside. So now it's on a perfect condition.
So that does look nearly new. You've really gone for it. So a garage has brought that in, who obviously are trying to sell it. So you try and give it that car new smell, that fresh, get it spotless.
Yeah, we shampooed the mats and carpets and the roof, and we wax it outside, detour it and wax it outside. So it looks pretty good now. Looks that the color came up alive.
What's the hardest thing to clean on a car?
The hardest thing is to clean the seats, because we have to shampoo and scrubble and hover them, you know.
I'd say it is, and the old sticky stuff.
Mm, seats.
Oh, God. So anyway, that was Express Car Wash there. So this is the really controversial question.
Yes. Yeah.
Because people might just naturally assume it's men who are messier, but maybe not.
Well, it turns out, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, that women have messier cars. And in general, it just make more of a mess. God, I'm going to get into so much trouble. But I put this question to Fikra, who drives a car and a van.
Tell us about your vehicle. Is it clean or dirty?
It is clean.
It is clean?
It is clean. Professional drivers keep their vehicles clean. We have to be able to see where we're going.
So what do you drive?
I drive a Citroën C5.
So that's like a van, a small van?
No, it's a car.
It's a car?
Yeah.
And it's clean?
And it's clean.
How often do you clean it?
We normally have a system. We have a number of vehicles, a number of Citroëns, so we normally have a system of cleaning them Friday / Saturday morning. Once a week, clear the debris out.
And what do you think of a dirty car?
It is what it is. That's why I don't drive my wife's car.
And why is her car filthy?
Kids, wife, everything gets thrown about. Bits of tissues.
Clutter. And do you clean her car for her?
I do not.
So it just stays dirty?
It's her car for a reason.
There you go. That's another definitive opinion there. Women are pigs in their own cars, or at least that's what I got from what that man said there. Henry, thanks a million as ever. If you want to give your car... a few years back, my car broke down, so I was using my teenage son's car for a few days. I dropped my phone down the side of the street. When I put my hand down, I was met with condom wrappers and used condoms.
Ooh.
My phone had fallen on top of them. Oh. Did you? And so you took your phone out, and then there was like a used condom stuck to it?
Oh, gee.
How do you? What would be the protocol for cleaning your phone after that? I don't know. Would you just want to?
I think
throw the phone out the window and look for an upgrade.
High powered wash.
But you destroy those
Karcher things to clean yourself.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
You'd wreck the car, the phone though.
You would.
Yeah. What do you do if you let off a really horrendous fart in your car and you turn the corner to see your colleague thumbing a lift in the rain because their car broke down? Do you invite them into your Dutch oven hell or just drive on? I just drive on, personally.
Drive on.
It's you're doing them a kindness. They just won't realise it at the time.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of experience. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.